Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 414th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGP. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any NFL game, only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Snag the tickets without the stress. Use promo code SGPN on your first purchase to save $20. Download the Game Time app and use promo code SGPN. And next, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play the Underdog Pick'em in college or NFL and win up to 20 times in one game. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to episode 414 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's going to go out to everyone on the broadcast, UFC broadcast last night, who did not make a homophobic slur. So it's only a handful of people that goes about it, but it goes out to them. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, one of your hosts, one of the hosts who hit it big last night with his picks. Not as much as my co-host, but we both swept the board with our fancy-dancy picks and pretty much swept our straight-up moneyline picks as well. So it was a good night for the bank accounts. Let's bring in the man who edged me out ever so slightly last night. It's the Gumby man, not Gumby God right now. He has to earn that again. It's Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I liked my favorite part of just barely edging you out was the first fight we differed on, I got correct. And at that point, no matter what I had done for the rest of the night, you were always going to be just ever so slightly behind me.
Yep. You could breathe early last night, but there wasn't much sweating things out anyhow. All your picks were coming through.
Yeah, well, and the crazy thing is, too, is like even the ones where I got particularly fancy, there wasn't a huge lot of time to sweat. Like, you know, we call Gabriel Miranda by submission, and it was like a plus 300 line, and he just got it done in 59 seconds. He was like, don't worry, I got this, guys. I guess I sweat out my Manel cape by decision one because they were just absolutely throwing down in that fight, hoping to knock each other's heads off. But then when the cards came, I knew he had won. So, yeah, altogether, kind of a quick and easy night until we got to the top of the card where weirdness happened.
Yes. MMA is always going to MMA, but yeah, it was a pretty fun card too. A lot of good fights, a lot of fight of the night contenders. It seemed each fight was, I would pick a fight as fight of the night and then the next fight would top it.
Yeah, I do have to say, you know, Felipe Dos Santos versus Manel Cape, good pick for fight of the night. Nazrat Haqparast landed Quinones, would have been up there. Was there another one I thought was particularly good?
Malarkey McDessie, maybe?
Yeah, I guess that one wasn't bad. Yeah, that one probably, because it came after Haqparast, I wasn't as hyped on it. But, like, yeah, all good fights. They picked a good one to win. Justin Taffa getting the knockout of the night bonus after almost walking off Austin Lane. Good bonus. Sean Strickland winning a performance. Yeah, don't get me wrong. We're going to talk about this. Expert game plan, well executed, like did all the things he's supposed to. But like those things replace knockout of the night and submission of the night. And like if we're just going to pick the guy who's in the highest quality fight and give him an extra 50K, we'll just pick everybody's salaries up a little bit. Like that's what we're going to do. Whereas we got a guy, you know, in Miranda who picked up a minute choke and choked the guy out cold. And, you know, that Kevin Ussett is looked out of control good. And, you know, you had Carlos Ahlberg get a tap with 11 seconds left that they only got to see because they reviewed the tape. Tyson Pedro looked like a man possessed. Alexander Volkov became the fourth guy ever to get an Ezekiel choke. And you gave it to a guy who won a decision with a jab and a two. Like all he did was had a jab and a two. And don't get me wrong, it was an expert jab and a two, and it was a great game plan and all that. But like, that's not what for performance of the night bonuses are for.
No. And usually, or not usually, but occasionally on big events like this, they give out more than the usual bonuses. So that would have been nice last night as well.
Yeah, especially with a $4 million gate, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that all these guys have to pay more taxes anyway, because the Australian tax system's quite a bit higher than the U.S. So, yes. they're already dealing with less money. So, yeah, dish it out, guys.
Yep, but that's the way these things go in MMA, especially in the UFC. So, all right, we should jump. Well, I guess we already did kind of jump into it, but we're going to jump into it more thoroughly, go through recap all the fights, talk about what happened, what's going to happen next, that type of thing, and brag about all our picks. After I tell you about DraftKings, football is back, baby. And it's in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? That would be DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Nobody's missing out on the action. This season, all DraftKings customers can take advantage of two new offers every game a day this September. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGP to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Gambling problem, call 1-800. I already said that part. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. And if you're stressed out about trying to find tickets to an event, fret not, no more. Game Time is the place you need to go because they make it easy to hunt down last minute tickets for the best price, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. That is true. I've checked it and used it out myself right up minute before the event. Get exclusive flash deals and tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, back to the Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney, New South Wales, where UFC 293 took place. 14,124 in attendance. As Dan mentioned, the gate was over 4 million US. It was 4.1, we'll round it up to US was the gate. They could have given out more in bonuses, but nonetheless. Main event. Sean Strickland, as we predicted, defeated Israel Adesanya, 49-46, 49-46, 49-46 across the board. Almost skunked the champion. This is pretty much how I had it scored as well. I had 4-1. I think Gumby had it 3-2, but he'll let you know himself. It was Strickland in the first, Izzy in the second, and Strickland the rest of the way in my books. Adesanya just never got it going, which is always a risk with the way he fights and the patience and waiting for his opponent to make moves rather than being aggressive himself always is the risk. We didn't think Sean Strickland had the tools to take advantage of it, but apparently we were wrong.
Yeah. So first of all, I scored the third one for Izzy, went back and watched it. I get that I was probably watching it with rosy-colored glasses, so everybody was laughing at me in the Discord. You were rightfully doing so. I was kind of hoping, you know, he was winning more than he actually was. But, you know, you have to give it to Sean Strickland because, like, he did the unthinkable, right? He beat Israel Adesanya in a fight where they were basically just having a sparring kickboxing match. But, like, I think the most impressive thing is the fact that he, like, poured it on there in the first round. And I think that changed the complexion of the fight. And I know that, like, you know, everybody was expecting him to wrestle. And, you know, you could say, well, he clearly didn't have the power to KO Izzy. But he did punish Izzy for the one time he tried to move forward or the one time he tried to counter. And if you go back and you look at all of, like, Izzy's other fights, Izzy uses that first round. I'm not saying he doesn't try to win it, but he uses that first round to find range and then starts to pick people apart. And he did that a little bit against Strickland. You know, like he clearly lost that first round because he got stung. And then he started to find his groove in the second round. But Strickland had already sort of like laid the groundwork. Like, I'm going to punish you for doing that. And as a result, like, Izzy never really got comfortable moving forward again after that. So like really impressive work by him. He cut off the cage really well. You got to give him credit for his footwork. I don't know how much more there is to say other than expert game planning, won this fight. And this is going to sound mean because I don't want to sound mean, but like his game plan is what won this fight, right? Like, because at the end of the day, I think we all agree that Israel Adesanya is a more talented fighter than Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland just went in with the perfect game plan and he executed it exactly the way he needs to. What do you do next with Strickland though? Cause like on one hand, yeah, you could do the Izzy rematch. Seems like Izzy could just use some time off, right? Like he's starting to look like he's burnt out and he's fought more than any champion. But it seems like there's like a treasure trove of challengers who could all beat Sean Strickland. Am I wrong?
Yeah. But we thought Izzy was going to run through him too. So who's to say? But yeah, on paper, yes, there are plenty of people who could beat Strickland. Alex Ferreira could come drop back down and
he's. I don't think he's going to because he looks big and also
yeah.
Strickland went and trained with him, like that. That's
worth noting. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yep. So like if Strickland went to train with him to get ready for Izzy, he's not watching him beat Izzy and then being like, all right, I'm in. Because, that's a dick move to your new, like, pseudo cross-training partner, Strickland. But it also makes you look like a huge wuss, right? Like, if you're like, hey, go beat Izzy for me so I can come back down and beat you instead. Like, that's a silly move. So, yeah, I don't think he's coming back down. But, like, I mean, Cannoneer just beat him. Like, it wasn't even that long ago. I think it was, like, 18 months ago Cannoneer beat him. Cannoneer could fight him again. And Cannoneer weighed in as a replacement for this. So like clearly the UFC sees him as a ready challenger. Whitaker did lose recently to Dricus du Plessis, right? But like at the same time, like either of those two guys work, right? Like I would pick Robert Whitaker over Sean Strickland. Would you not?
It's hard to say now at this point.
Yeah. Cause it's a weird game plan. Yeah.
Yeah. And how Whitaker looked. Yeah. I'm hearing, well, obviously it sounds like they're going to force the rematch on us, which I'm just so tired of automatic rematches. It's just so lazy booking, but it seems to be the way that they always go. But I agree with you. Izzy could need some time off. He's only 4-3 in his last 7 fights, so he really is not at the top of his game. He really could take some time off for sure. I'm also hearing Chimaev Costa could be next.
So Chimaev. So yes. Smile.
Yeah. After Costa pulls out, yes.
Yeah, yes. I mean, like, I think their dream, and this is me speculating wildly about what the UFC wants and what's most marketable and stuff like that. I think the UFC's dream is for Khamzat to win this belt and wind up with Khamzat against all kinds of challengers, like Khamzat versus Izzy, Khamzat versus Bo Nickel one day. Like, I think that that's deep down what they want. So if they can strike and get Khamzat with the belt as fast as possible, I mean, like, it seems like now's the time, right? Like, this is the most beatable a champion has looked in some time, right? Because, like, Strickland looked great game planning-wise, but nothing made him look like he was, like, not touchable.
No. And there's no way Costa really wants to fight Chimaev, right?
I mean, does Costa want to fight anybody?
Yeah, exactly.
All he really seems to want to do is to, like, post silly memes on the internet and pretend that he's dating somebody he's not. Like, that seems to be Paulo Costa's thing right now.
Very true. Very true. So that was the main event. Co-main event, Gumby whiffed on that too, but he didn't whiff on too much else. Don't worry. I had Alexander Volkov beating Tai Tuivasa. I predicted it would be an Ezekiel choke, and it was. 437 into the second round. Yeah, Tuivasa was eating up Volkov's leg, but that was pretty much the only positive for him in this fight. Volkov was doing what I hoped and predicted he would do, just sniping him from outside and powerfully sniping him. Like, he was busting up Tuivasa. Tuivasa is a tough guy, so it would have put down a lesser man, but the giant came through for us here.
Yeah,
for me.
I kind of thought if Tuivasa survived that second round, I think he had a puncher's chance in the third, because Volkov was slowing down. Volkov was slowing down, and I think the trip and getting top control really wound up being a game changer here. I don't know that Tai Tuivasa would have won this fight, but I think, I drew it up. I said Tai Tuivasa in the third round could look like Derek Lewis did against Volkov in the third round. And I guess we'll never know. But this is pretty much what we expect from both these guys. I don't mind taking a plus 200 stab on somebody like Tai Tuivasa in a fight that looked like that.
Are we any higher on Volkov after this, or
no?
Pretty much the same?
No, I mean, you got
no.
He's got his leg eaten up by a guy who's a foot shorter than he is. Like, what are you doing, man?
Is Tai Tuivasa? Does he have going to use up another one of his nine lives and stick around or not? Because that's three straight losses, three straight finishes for him.
Yeah, but it's every single person he's lost to is either a champion or a title challenger, or pretty damn close, right? You know, you got
Savage.
Former Bellator champion, current number one contender, former interim champion. And it's not like he didn't look terrible against Surreal, right?
No.
He looked all right against Surreal game. And he was on a 5-fight KO win streak before that. So, yeah, I think he sticks around. I think he probably needs to now fight, Alexander Romanov, maybe, or somebody of that kin. That's probably where he's at now.
That is good. He's fine, and he's even funnier now that he has hair. He looks silly with hair.
that's very true. I was like, I called my wife in from the other room. I was like, hey, look at this. She's like, what is he doing? I was like, I don't know, just growing the lettuce out.
Yeah, fantastic. Manel Cape, he came through big time for Gumby here. He took care of a very game, Felipe Dos Santos. 30-27, 29-29, 28-29, 28. Very good fight. A fight of the night, winning fight, actually. We had Cape at minus 380. But more importantly, Gumby had Cape via decision plus 350. That number, in retrospect, looked silly. I guess it was what am I trying to say? What's the opposite of retrospect, Dan?
In foresight? When you're
looking forward? Foresight, yes. So tell us about your amazing win here, Gumby.
I mean, it just, for me, it was a play not so much on Manel Cape's abilities, right? He's a top five or top 10 flyweight, and he was up against the promotional newcomer on short notice with seven professional fights. Like, obviously he was going to win. It was more of a play on Felipe Dos Santos's durability and the durability of seemingly freaking everybody who comes from Shoot the Box. Those guys could take a licking. So, shout out to Felipe Dos Santos for being crazy hard nosed and just like giving Cape just like enough on the return to have to worry about it and have to take his foot off the gas a little bit here and there. So, yeah, 350 hits are fun. Yeah, you should do those all the time.
Yeah, no kidding. And because nothing matters in the UFC, there's no repercussions. Cape said the vile F word after the fight on the mic and still got a $50,000 bonus. So there you go. Boom.
I mean, at least he was saying derogatory things during the pay-per-view broadcast, because ESPN's a little bit more, has a little bit bigger of an issue when they do that on the free prelims.
Disney doesn't like that.
I can't imagine they were too pumped with Chuck Buffalo.
No. So what's happening with Cape next? Is he going to get Kara France like he was supposed to here?
I mean, he seems to want that fight from, like, a vengeful standpoint. But, like, doesn't it seem like he feels vengeful with everybody? I know, like, a lot of different people have pulled out. But remember, he's the one who told Alex Perez that his DNA was an abomination.
Right, yes. He's amazing.
Yeah, and I don't... Yeah, that's... I mean, that's one of the most all-time MMA quotes right there. I don't think Kai Kara-France's DNA is an abomination, but he seems to be pretty low on it, so... So, yeah, I'd probably just book that if I was the UFC. There's enough heat there to make it exciting.
Yep, very true. So hit that one. We hit Justin Toffa taking care of Austin Lane. I'm glad I flip-flopped on this because I was thinking about taking Lane because he looks like he could be good. He's big. He's athletic. He's not a big – he's not a short, fat guy at heavyweight, which is rare these days. But it went the way that we thought it was going to go in the end. Justin Toffa knocked him out with punches, 122 into the first round. We both had Toffa at minus 210.
We both forgot to mention, too, that Austin Lane has the worst base for MMA. Do you know what that is?
Football.
Yeah, NFL football. NFL football. Having played in the NFL, being on the Chicago Bears, I think, is the worst base for MMA.
Very, very true. But yeah, Toffa walk off KO had the
crowd sort of walk off. He went back out. Yeah, he got
like, oh, fine, because the ref wanted more violence. And then the fight before that, we got a walk off too. This was my big hit. Tyson Pedro knocked out the Pleasure Man, Anton Trichology, 212 into the first round. Didn't have to sweat this one much. Pedro, we had a plus 100. Gumby had Pedro as his lock. I had Pedro as my dog. I had Pedro as my prop. KO plus 390. So I even beat Gumby on my prop pick. Pretty amazing. This one in foresight there, I'll remember to use foresight. This one was very predictable, but yet we got some nice plus money on it.
Who are the people betting on Turkali?
Like, I'm hearing lots of people say that too.
It like, wasn't
people are questioning this. I don't.
It wasn't in our Discord. I know if our Discord was any indication of the market, Pedro would have wound up negative 200 by the end of the night, but instead the numbers kept creeping up for Turkali. There had to have been a corner of the internet somewhere where some tout selling picks was trying to hype people up on the Pleasure Man. But man, I mean, he looked exactly like I thought he would. He's a guy who's really good at grappling, shot a bad takedown. And once he shot one bad takedown and failed, Pedro was like, oh, cool. Now I just piece you up. And he did. And he did pretty flawlessly. And, you know, going for a plus 100 as your lock of the week shows just how silly this line was. Because I was like, there's no way you can pass up on something like this. So, yeah, lock of the week, plus 100. Dog of the week for you, plus 100. Prop of the week for you, plus 390. Yeah, Tyson Pedro, pretty close to getting his face on our Mount Rushmore sick picks.
No kidding. Star of the night. So Gumby's arrogance, taking a plus money guy as his lock, did not come through and did not come back and bite us in the ass. Pleasure Man is out of here, right? We're cutting him.
I don't
especially this season.
I mean, you think so? I mean, they did
straight losses, isn't it? Or two straight losses? Three?
I think he's only lost twice, right?
All right.
Hang on 1 second. One second. Let me.
I'm checking first.
No, it is three.
Yeah, this is three, dude. Three. He's gone.
But remember the first one is short notice at a catchweight, heavyweight-esque fight against Jailton Almeida. So, like, maybe he's fired, but maybe he also, like, earned some good, good stock from that. But I'll also say they didn't want to sign him in the first place, right? He won on Contender Series, and he was kind of, left out in the cold. And it wasn't left out in the cold like Josephine Knutson, where you're like, why did he just said she didn't have it and then never specified what it was and then like couldn't really put words to it. Maybe he just ate Swedish people. They're both Swedish. And then but Trichali, it was like that was the most boring grappling match I've ever seen in my life. And he was right. It like wasn't fun. I think he hit 9 takedowns and had like 13 seconds of top time or something like that. So maybe he's gone. He might be gone. We can fire him if you want.
Well, we all know it equals implants, Dan. We know that.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Good to know.
Yeah, we learned also last night, this was not good to know, that the Pleasure Man nickname came from his father.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite facts of all time. John Anik just says that casually, and I was like, what the? You're not going to elaborate on that? That his dad calls him the pleasure man?
Yeah. Yeah, that maybe we should move on. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say about that. Yeah, very, very interesting. But Gumby's feeling nice today. He doesn't want to automatically get rid of pleasure man. Maybe that's because we'll get plus. We'll have a he'll be a favorite in his next fight, and we'll be able to bet against him again, make some more money.
I've got some more firings coming up, so don't worry.
Oh yeah, it's true. It's true. Tyson Bader was a Hall of Fame bet of ours, and we are sponsored by Hall of Fame Bets. Ta-da! Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and MLB and soccer, excuse me. Bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea to Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And Underdog Fantasy is still on board. Underdog, and they have a way for you to play alongside your favorite football team all season long with their fantasy pick'em game. You pick between 2 to 5 players, select whether they'll go higher or lower on one of their stats, then do what you usually spend your Sundays doing, recording podcasts, right, Dan?
Yeah, that is what I usually do on Sundays.
Watching the games, I mean, yes, watching the games, sorry. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single game by going 5 for 5. It's a fantasy game, but you can win real money. And if you get this in years in time, Cowboys and Cowboys players are the picks for tonight, right?
Yeah, that's right. Go with the over on CeeDee Lamb's receiving yards.
Yes, he's a wide receiver. That would mean, or possibly a tight end. Yes, but I'll say a wide receiver.
Yes, my Canadian friend. Yes, he is.
Yes. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, prelim at time. Carlos Olberg continues to look the way that we were hoping he would look in the UFC. He submitted Da Ong Dong. We thought he won by a decision, but no, he ended up submitting him at 449 into the third round, the end of the fight. They went back because, weirdly, the referee missed Supplin, Herb Dean, and actually Jong had tapped out. And we had Olberg at -270, and Olberg was my lock as well. I didn't see a submission coming, though.
I didn't see a submission coming. He did look good on the ground when he was there. I'm actually going to give Herb Dean a pass for not seeing that tap. It was in a very weird spot. Eugene Behrman, shout out to him for making sure it got seen. I have a question for you following this fight, because you love firing people. Is Dawon Jung fireable at this point?
I actually said his name wrong. He's going by Woon, right? Dawon Jung now.
I'm still on the original pronunciation, because that's what it is on Tapology and Wikipedia. But yes, I believe he uses Dawon Jung.
Yeah. Yes, he's getting fired. There's 3 straight losses, 2 of them via finish.
And one of them to Devin Clark, who doesn't finish anybody anyway. So, like, that's basically a finish.
good competition. Yeah, good competition. But, yeah, this is the season where they need to clear space for all the amazing prospects that are coming off a contender series this year. So,
yeah, and I'm going to spoil you guys, for those of you who are getting ready to listen to the contender series episode that'll come out. Well, it's probably out right now as you're listening to this. I don't think there are a lot of good ones on this episode coming up either.
Yep, it is true. Doing the research for it, I'm like, nah, no one really looks very good here on paper, at least. But all right, great. Olberg, thoughts on him next? people are laughing about him being ranked, but the performance rank is I do on moneymma.substack.com. He's right. Like, he's way up high. He's like top five now because it's light heavyweight and he finishes people. So that'll get you lots of points in my eyes.
I'm gonna give you a little peek behind the curtains. I have not updated my rankings yet, but I already had him ranked because that's just how shallow this division is. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I think he's better than Ryan's fan, right? Like,
I would pick him.
Would you pick him to beat Ryan's fan? I would.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And despite the fact that he lost in his debut to Kennedy and Zichuku, I would still pick him to beat Kennedy Zichuku if he fought him tomorrow. So, I mean, like, if you're putting him in front of guys like that or Alonzo Menafield or Felipe Lins, like, who else could be in front of him at that point then? Like, you're not going to come up with 15 names if you can't squeak if you can't squeak Ryan Spann in front of him, or you can't squeak Dominic Reyes in front of him, or, you know, somebody like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think he has to be ranked. And actually, like, I think he's probably getting close to the top 10, never mind the top 15.
Yep, it's true. It's light heavyweight, everyone. As Dan said, Dan was throwing some names out. Just take a look at the rankings and decide for yourself.
It's bad.
Yep. Anthony Smith is just beat Ryan Spann. He's way up there. So there you go. Featherweights, Chepe Marechal looked good in this fight. He won kind of in a freakish way, but he looked good in the fight. I'm not sure if he's going to win the fight, but he looked decent enough. Tossed Jack Jenkins down. He posted on his arm and dislocated his elbow. Looked like he was knocked out originally. He was just lying face down, not moving, but 3:19 in the second round, arm injury, Gumby style of fight. Unfortunately, we had Jenkins here.
Yeah, this is kind of upsetting because it did feel like the momentum was favoring Chepe. All the judges scored round one for Jack Jenkins. So literally, we're just talking about like Jack Jenkins needing to put it on him in round three, which, you know, like Jack Jenkins gets better as the fight goes on. So it's kind of upsetting to see it having ended this way. Especially because at this point in time, up to here, this is the first fight I had missed on the night. I was five for five out of the gate, and then this happened, and I was like, oh no, we're not gonna start running into these. I still am high on both these guys. I think Chepe looks better at 45 than he did at 55 against Trevor Peak. Because obviously Jack Jenkins is a huge step up. I still think there's tons to like about Jack Jenkins here at featherweight. Yep. I just hope that elbow injury is not like a long ordeal like the when Joe Piper effed up his elbow, you know, like that. Yeah. I hope it's not one of those, you know.
Yeah, hopefully just quote unquote a dislocation, not like a bunch of tendons torn or bones broken, stuff like that. So Jenkins is a fun fighter. All right, so missed on that, but here comes some more winners. Lightweights, Jimmy Mularkey took care of John McDessie. In a tight fight, I told you there were probably was some value in McDessie at plus whatever he was, two whatever. But in the end, Mularkey came through in a very hard-fought fight, 29-28 across the board.
Yeah, I think I called Jamie Mularkey a parlay buster, and he wasn't, but he damn near sure was. McDessie's always tough, but I think our read that we said on Wednesday made the most sense. Like, the height difference was everything. You know, McDessie likes to be a kickboxer from range. It's a lot harder to do that when you're way small. Because he just kept coming up short on a lot of his bigger shots, you know, either spinning back fists or whatever he was throwing. Like, he just wound up a little bit short on all of them, and it was because Mularkey handled range well. So, yeah, not much else to say about that one.
McDessie, one win in his last 4.5 years. He's 1-3. Are we keeping him around?
He feels like somebody they just let the contract expire on.
Yeah.
You know what probably. I mean? Like, if he's got one more fight on his contract, I bet they don't extend him. And even if he wins, I bet you don't see him re-signed.
Yeah.
He's really got a, I'm going to show up on a Bellator undercard feel. Cause even he doesn't feel like PFL's style of fighter even. So,
no.
I would imagine his time in the UFC is not long for this world.
Nope. Nasrat Haqparast kept the Wolves at bay by getting himself a win last night over Landon Quinones, who was very game despite losing 30-27 across the board.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth noting because a lot of people shit on Landon Quinones getting this opportunity. Because, look, he lost his only fight in the Ultimate Fighter House, and I think it took 55 seconds, and it was by some of the lowest fight IQ-style stuff that you've ever seen before. This fight was closer than 30-27 seems to indicate, right? Like, I thought Hokprast won every round, but Quinones was in every single round, which is legit as hell. I think there are lightweights he would beat. Like, am I wrong? Like, do you think he could... Well, I just threw the name Trevor Peak around. Do you think he could go toe-to-toe with Trevor Peak and have an exciting fight that he could potentially win?
He could potentially win that, yeah, if he doesn't get hit with the hammer, standing hammer fist, yes.
Yeah, and he seems tall enough and lanky enough that that'd be hard to do.
Yeah, that is true. All right, so that was the main prelims, the early prelims. Chuck Buffalo, Charlie Radke came through in a horrendous fight over Mike Mathitha, Mike Diamond, Blood Diamond, 29-27 across the board, just nonstop fouls and horrible, ineffective grappling. And then he dropped the first vile F word, a bomb of the night in the post fight, post fight in the ring. So went across on ESPN. Yeah, not a good fight, not a good first showing for Radke. But this is UFC, so he's surely going to survive and get to fight another day.
So I was going to ask you that. So first of all, I think Blood Diamond needs to be fired. He's now 3-3 as a pro. He's clearly not up to UFC level here. But I was going to ask you if you thought Radke was going to survive this. Because on one hand, you're right. It's the UFC. And I'm not here saying he should or he shouldn't be fired. I'm not here to pass judgment. But I'm asking if you think ESPN might put its finger on the scale. Because he, at first... just, you know, he went on his rant and very clearly you were like, oh, the folks at ESPN are not going to love this. And I think within 20 minutes after he was out of the cage, there was an Instagram post apologizing, which you have to imagine was written as he was walking back to the back room by his manager being like, dude, post this now. Because here's the thing. You're right. It's the UFC. So seemingly, they have a much higher tolerance than this for most sports leagues and stuff like that. But on the other hand, he put in a dud of a performance against a 3-3 professional. And that's what made me say, like, yeah, usually this shit just blows right over. But.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, if anybody was going to get the axe for that, it would probably be somebody like him.
Yep. We don't need to see him again anyhow after that performance last night. But we hit it. Catchweight fight, because Shane Young came in way overweight, which made me smile because I knew our pick was even better here. Gabriel Miranda, for some reason, was the underdog. A pretty sizable, plus, 145 underdog against Shane Young. He ended up submitting him. Rear naked choke, 59 seconds into the first round. Gumby had Miranda as his dog. I had Miranda as a normal pick as well. Half of our... Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parley was Miranda via submission. So hopefully Gumby had that in the real world as well on its own. But yeah, nice pick. Miranda looked good, not just his mustache. His fighting looked good as well.
Yeah, real world, I wound up chickening out and not just taking the sub. And I went sub and KO put together. I put inside the distance instead. Okay. That took it from 280 down to 210, which is, I think, why I did it. I was like, it's only 70 different. And like, his hands did look good against Benoit St. Denis, so I think I psyched myself out thinking he could knock him out. But man, dude, it was very clear his game plan, right? Like, he just was like, I'm on this guy. And it didn't take long. So I said this after he fought Benoit St. Denis. He fought Benoit St. Denis on short notice, up a weight class. We all sold on Benoit St. Denis after he lost to Elize Zaleski dos Santos, up a weight class on short notice. This is almost the same exact thing. This is him. Yep. Like, I think this dude is going to shine at featherweight. I think he's going to beat a ton of featherweight. Like, I would pick him to beat Chepe Mariscal. I'd pick him to beat Chepe Mariscal tomorrow. I would heavily consider picking him against Jack Jenkins. I just think he looks really good down there. The grappling is on point. His hands are fast enough. And he's got a clear nose for finishing, too. So, yeah, I'm super hyped on Gabriel Miranda.
Yep, for sure. And then in the curtain jerker, I went with a resume pick and it did not come through. Kiefer Crosby at plus 145. Got thoroughly outclassed by Kevin Jousse, who looked really good here. Submission rear naked choke, 449 into the first round. Irish MMA, it's in shambles, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I said it when we were breaking it down. This was 2 minutes of a power puncher versus a what more well-rounded fighter. And yeah. Actually, it's funny because I remember saying that on Wednesday. He's got 2 minutes of power punching, and he landed a left hook at 2 minutes and 2 seconds, and Jussé ate it. And I was like, well, it's because it wasn't in the first 2 minutes. And then immediately, you know, like the grappling game from Jussé was better. The all-around striking game from Jussé was better. How good is Jussé? I'm not sure we know yet. This seemed like a guy who is a real well-rounded MMA fighter versus a guy who is way more one-dimensional. So, like, I think him against another I'd probably pick him against Chuck Buffalo. But I don't know many other welterweights who I'd start to feel confident in him beating.
We were confident with our pick. So we both went 9-3. I thought Gumby was going to run away with it, but I reeled him back in a bit on the main card. I was up $193. He was up $216. So you're slightly catching up, Dan. I'm up to 60% overall on my picks, which is good. That's my minimum I want to be at. So I'm happy there. Gumby's at 56%. He's moving up as well. We're both down money. Don't need to talk about that. We need to talk about our fancy picks, though. We both hit our locks, Pedro and Ulberg. We hit our dogs, Miranda and Pedro. We hit our props, Cape decision, Pedro knockout. First time ever we swept the board, both of us.
Plus 350, plus 392. It's not like we squeaked in here. And the first time ever we had a lock at plus. I had plus money across the board, plus 100, plus 145, plus 350.
Fantastic. And Gumby is up 3%. Money wise on his lock picks. Then on our props, we are both up. I'm up 5% money return on investment on my props. Gumby's up 4% on his props. Thanks to last night.
Look at that. And we're catching back up with the dogs too. We were cold with the dogs for a bit, but you're on fire with your dogs. Did you know that?
No. Do tell the world, Dan.
You've hit 3 out of 4, and the only week you didn't hit, there was only one underdog, and she was plus 100. Right. But you had Hollabaugh, Smith, and Pedro in three of the last 4 weeks. So, yeah.
Climb my way back up, for sure. Hungerman Jong Radke screwed that up by not getting a submission. So, couldn't even get his man down to the mat. So, that's going to happen.
Which, in retrospect, feels sad.
Yes. Yep. All right, fight of the night, like I said, Cape and Dos Santos. Good to see the newcomer got some extra money there. And then performances were Strickland and Toffa, which were Strickland was a surprising one. UFC does not rest, and we're not just getting a run-of-a-mill Apex fight card next week, a fight night card with like one decent fight on it, or two if we're lucky. No, we're getting Noche UFC. What does Noche mean, Dan?
It means night.
Does it?
Yeah, it's Spanish for night.
But why are they calling it night UFC then? Oh, because it's for fight night. Is that why?
Yeah, because it's the Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah, I know that. But why noche? That's the thing.
Because it's Spanish for fight night. Yeah, it's UFC. It's fight night UFC. I mean, I guess they could have added the word fight in there.
Yeah.
It's noche UFC.
I'm all for it. I was just curious. UFC fight night, Grasso versus Shevchenko too. Yes, we're getting a title fight on a fight night card. When's the last time this happened, Dan? I don't have it in front of me, but
it's got to be Mighty Mouse, right? Was it when
I was going to say yes, probably.
I was going to guess when he beat, did he beat Michael McDonald in like Bismarck, North Dakota or some shit like that? Like it feels like he fought Michael McDonald in like Idaho. Maybe Boise. I would guess if that was a fight night.
All right, so this is going down in the T-Mobile Arena, not some far-off place like Boise, in Paradise, Nevada. ESPN Plus is where the fight night is taking place. Let me read you this fight card. It could have been even better, too, when you hear some of the names that got scratched from it. Main event, Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko for the Women's Flyweight Championship, a automatic rematch because that's what the UFC does immediately. Welterweights, co-main event, Kevin Holland, Jack Della Maddalena. That's a fight night main event right there, pretty much. Royal Rosas Jr., the youngster, returns against Terrence Mitchell. Daniel Zellhuber versus Christos Giagos and Fernando Padilla versus Kyle Nelson round out the main card. Prelims, Lupita Godinez, Elise Reed, Roman Kopylov, Josh Fremd, Edgar Charez, Daniel Lacerda, Tracy Cortez, Jasmine Jasudavicius, and Josephine Lindgren Knutsen is making her debut against Marnik Mann. They should have put Lupis and the Cortez just due to the vicious fight, should be on the main card, Dan.
I agree with that. Also, that I was misremembering Mighty Mouse fighting Michael McDonald. He actually never fought Michael McDonald, but Michael McDonald main evented against John Lineker in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's what I was thinking of.
All right.
Yeah, I remembered Michael McDonald fighting somewhere weird. Anyway, you usually ask me what I like about this card, and I would say almost everything. I love... The Della Maddalena versus Holland fight's great. I like that we're getting a rematch of a fight I'm not terribly excited for, but we're getting it on a fight night card, so I don't have to squeeze it onto a pay-per-view main card that I don't care about. I like that they gave Raul Rosas Jr. an easier fight to get him back on track. I think Fernando Mejia looks so damn good against Julian Arosa. That's a fun fight. Anytime we get to see Lupi fight's exciting. Cortez versus Jasmine Jesuta Vicious is extremely tough fight. Did you mention Alex Reyes versus Charlie Campbell? I missed that.
No. I missed that. That is the last minute addition. Yes.
Yeah, because Alex Reyes was supposed to fight Natan Levy, who dropped out. And I don't know. Do you remember Charlie Campbell from Contender Series?
I remember the name. Yeah,
he's the one who beat the ever living shit out of Chris Duncan, but then got last second knocked out when he tried to stalk him.
Okay.
Like weird come from behind loss. And then the ESPN broadcast immediately shifted to show his family, not Chris Duncan's family, but his family, who were all like devastated and sad and like throwing things. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they don't even realize what family they cut to. Idiots. But it's good to see Charlie Campbell in there too. So lots to like, and I didn't even mention Josephine Knudsen. So, you know, tons to like there.
And we were supposed to have Shavkat on this card and Santiago Ponzinibbio. Why don't they just match the two up?
Ponzinibbio is announced that he will not be fighting this weekend. I don't know if they're still looking for somebody for Shavkat. That originally was supposed to be Calvin Gastelum. Or Shavkat will just be pushed back a little bit. But it sort of feels like they're not going to find anything there.
No.
I'm guessing Shavkat didn't want to fight somebody like Ponzinibbio. Like, he's not going to risk where he is.
Too bad. It could have been even better, but it's still pretty darn good as it is. And we will give you all our picks, our winning picks for it come Wednesday when we do the prelims, Thursday when we do the main card and the fancy picks, which pay off, apparently, because we nailed them all this week. We're going to be back in your ears. Check your podcast feed right now, right this minute, because you're going to see another podcast from us. It's our... What's that show called again? Dana White's Contender Series, week 6. The second half kicks off on Tuesday. And we're going to turn the ship around here, Dan, right?
I keep saying that, though. And I have taken into consideration for this week the fighting styles and how people don't seem to be fighting like they normally do. And tried to take that into account in my handicapping. So hopefully I've made adjustments. You got to make adjustments. That's the thing.
Yep. Yep. After I say goodbye to you all, click over and listen and see what kind of adjustments can be made. And you can chat with us in the Discord. It was jumping last night for the UFC pay-per-view as per usual. A lot of people had winning parlays and tickets that they posted, which was nice to see. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter or X, Gumby was bragging about our winners on there at our SGP and MMA account that he runs. He's also a Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. That's what I am at on Instagram as well. Jeff Fox writer. MoneyMMA.substack.com is the place to go for all my MMA writing and other podcasts and my pick'em contest. So subscribe there. Gumby's got the top turtle MMA podcast that you want to ram in your ears every week as well. Do we know about this week's or is it still up in the air? Am I asking too early?
I know for a fact one. I am waiting for a second one to shake out. I have a backup second one just in case. Okay. But I know for a fact Josh Fremd is on this week talking about his insanely fast turnaround here after his last win.
Against a tough opponent too. So that will be a good interview to listen to. Top Turtle is always a winning podcast to listen to. And obviously all good things in the sports gambling world can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And of course, our Patreon. Don't forget our Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Help us crush corporate gambling. All right. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. The Lone Wolf, Jeff Fox. Not tomorrow. Right now, we'll be back. The Lone Wolf, Jeff Fox, and the Pleasure Man, Gumby Vreeland. We'll give you the winning picks for Contender Series. Bye-bye.